This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Wominjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities. A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9.
Yes, welcome. You're on Urban Dreaming. The time is now 8 o'clock and you're with Sarami on the mic.
And Claire over here.
Yes, we don't have Maddie, unfortunately, and Gal are away. They're currently on business.
Miss them.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a shame, but you know what? We're just as deadly as they are anyway.
We'll try anyway.
So, tonight's show is going to be an absolutely fantastic evening, I think. We've got the most amazing guest in the studio tonight, who's actually one of my biggest mentors, to be honest, and that is Deborah Cheatham. So looking forward to having a conversation with her this evening.
I'm looking forward to having a conversation with Deborah as well.
I'm sure you've got some interesting questions for her.
I do have a few questions. Some of them have come out of a few times that you and I have discussed her work, so I'm quite looking forward to this.
Yes, and I see you wearing your lovely dress, by the way.
Oh, yes. I am opera ready. I have an enormous necklace on because when you go to the opera or you have an opera singer in the studio, one must be dressed appropriately. Where is your opera going outfit, though, Sarami? Like, really?
You know what?
It's amazing.
It's funny because I've worked with on the opera with Deborah.
Yes.
And I never wore anything. All I did wear. So true.
So that's so currently, Miscellaneous will love this. When we talk to her, she's going to want to know what you're wearing, and I'll say, you're wearing your pecan summer costume.
Basically, I was wearing the birthday suit. All I wore was really just pants, and I'd paint myself in ochre, and that was what I wore. So
that sounds like a really good costume, especially for radio.
Yes, well, they can't see us anyway. All right, so just so you know, also we've got an amazing yarn with Miscellaneous up in Darwin and Constantina Bush.
Yes, this is excellent because the NAMA Awards were on the weekend and I may have spent most of Sunday looking at the performances. They're all recorded live on Facebook by NITV, so I got to see some really great stuff.
Great. Yeah. And we will be playing a couple of the artists' songs as well.
So. Yes, I picked some of my favourite songs.
Looking forward to that. And thanks to World Wide Web once again.
Yes, they were talking about Gays for Trump. It's been a really interesting Tuesday on Joy programming because, the look on our panellist's face right now when I said Gays for Trump.
I didn't know they were gay. Are there actually Gays for Trump? I didn't know that was a thing.
It is a thing. It's utterly terrifying, isn't it?
Haven't you seen him riding the horse?
How does that work?
So basically, there's pictures, there's billboards, everything.
Wow.
No,
where have you been, young man? Oh, this is John, by the way.
Hi, I'm John. I'm so excited to be here on the show tonight and the amazing guests you've got.
Yeah, it's been
good. Welcome, John.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for turning on your microphone.
I know, because I was kind of looking, should I talk?
Yeah, if you have a question.
Well, it's radio. It might be helpful if I talk, right?
Yeah.
This is great. You can pretend you're Maddie.
Yeah, hey, I'm Matt.
That's almost as good as Matt, yes.
Hey, you mob. This is Davey, and you're listening to Urban Dream. Me on Joy, deadly.
Thank you.
Namani, you mob. This is Jacob Boehm. You're listening to Urban Dreaming, Joy 94.9. Nakanya.
Nakanya. That's Jacob Boehm. But the song just after that is actually one of my favourites, and it's actually got a bit of history with that too. And that song was actually Dali Mana Gamarada, which is with Deborah Cheatham and the Wicked Beat Sound System. That's correct, isn't it, Deb?
Yeah, they are such an incredible crew. How was that arrangement, you know? That was a wonderful process, putting that track together. I'm so glad that you played it, because that kind of brought us together, didn't it, a long time ago?
Brings back memories. And, I had to... tonight's going to be really interesting. I was just saying to Deborah this evening, we're going to be having a conversation about, you know, not just the typical conversation we always sort of have with the media. I want us to go back into the process of, I guess, how you as a person sort of has, you know, how you go about your process with your work and why you do it and the purpose of your work, I guess, is what I'm really more interested in. But before I do begin, I want to just do a brief announcement, because there's so much that this lady has done, and I cannot express how much amazing effort she has done to the Australian platform of the arts. But Deborah Cheatham, who's in the studio right now with us, is a Yorta woman, a proud Yorta woman, who's a soprano, a composer, an educator, and has been a leader in the Australian arts landscape for more than 25 years. It was in 2014 that she was honoured with the appointed as an officer of the Order of Australia and was distinguished service to the performing arts as an opera singer, composer and artistic director to the development of Indigenous arts and artists and to the innovation of performance. And she's also toured the world, and she's gone to many, many places and had so many multi-award-winning progresses towards a meaningful reconciliation for Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal Australians. And that's really, I couldn't say, that's only a smidgen of what you do, Deborah. And I'm forever in your debt, I think, in a sense, because you've given me a platform in the arts, and I cannot express how thankful I am.
I'm just so glad that we met when we did, Suru, because, you know, you were already right out there with dance, and I was just so, I don't know, I was so inspired the first time that you walked into a room. I knew you was already as a dancer, and you walked into a room in Perth to audition for our opera company, and this voice just came, and I simply couldn't believe my luck that he was a dancer who could sing every bit as well as he could dance. And this, you know, we've had a long history, haven't we, together with Short Black, and you've been there from the very beginning, Suri.
Yes, well, Deborah came to Derby many years back. I think it was 2010.
Yeah, it might have been 2010, maybe even 2009, because
sooner, yeah.
2010 was the opera, so yeah, that was the premiere year, so around about then. And it was my first trip to Derby too, I have to say.
Yeah, so so you were talking about just your first trip to Derby. Was that like your first real remote community trip?
It was my first time anywhere where the road was just red dirt right ahead of me, you know, and that liberated my thinking. You know, I'd never driven off bitumen, really, in that way that it's almost idyllic, isn't it? We think about the Kimberley and other regions like that, the Pilbara as well, that long red dirt road that just stretches out in front of you. It was the very first experience that I'd had of that coming up to Derby. And I think that we must have, on that trip, I was up there with the West Australian Opera Company, and I reckon we probably worked with every single Aboriginal kid in that community that on that trip. It was just amazing. It was a wonderful experience. I gained so much. I mean, you go into these places and you bring along programs and you hope to share some of your knowledge, but I learned so much on that trip.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the Kimberleys, is once you've gone to that place, you never do forget those places. And the idea of working with the kids, because that song specifically, Dali Mana Gamarada, was actually basically the song that you gave us to be able to perform with you on that day, or that evening, actually, of
That's
that week
right.
that you came through.
That's right. I mean, it was incredible because that language there, it's not my language, it's not Yorta Yorta, it's actually Gadigal language, so it's one of the Sydney languages. And that language was given to me by Rhoda Roberts, ahead of the 2000 Sydney Olympic Games. And she asked me, would I write a song that we could sing at the opening ceremony? and that was the song. The arrangement we just heard with Wicked Beats, that came a couple of years later, but the song, Dalimana Gamarada, you know, I'll embrace you and I'll escort you into my country. And it was just so appropriate to share it up there in Derby, because you go onto that country, you get such a welcome, you know, as long as you're respectful going in there, of course. But we had such a welcome. I met you, I met Bibi. He was, you know, he was this gorgeous two Aboriginal men, one who could dance and sing, another one who could play the piano, and so many kids, hundreds of kids we worked with. And then the group that you brought together to actually dance to Dalimana, it was the embodiment of the words of that song, that I was being embraced and escorted into country. You know, I was being taken care of, and it stayed with me because I was still all piecing it together in those days, Suri. Long journey.
That's why I wanted to play Dan Seldon before, because his song Kimberley Calling, it's that whole thing, isn't it? It's like your Leon is calling, something in your spirit is calling you towards a certain place, and it's giving you some sort of direction into the reason why you're there in the first place.
Yeah, well, you know, also it's the first time that I painted up. I had some paint just on my face, and you applied that, and it was the very first time that I'd ever actually had any sort of cultural marking painted on to me. Like, people might find that surprising, that only, you know, 2009-10, I was still finding some of these really fundamental expressions of culture. And, I mean, you played a really big part in that. And it was such a pivotal time because I'd gone up to the Kimberley, I'd gone up to Derby, and I hadn't even written all of the opera at that stage, so I'd only written a few scenes, and I brought one or two of those scenes with me and worked on those with the kids. But it was Dalimana that really sort of, it kind of cemented the experience for me in that sort of very holistic way, that you're not only a singer, you're also a dancer. You're not only a dancer, you're also a storyteller. And all of these things combined are the way in which we share our knowledge and our culture. And it came together on that beautiful football oval there for the it's the moon.
The Moonrise Festival.
Yeah, Moonrise.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I think I've seen the photos of that.
Have you seen?
Yeah.
I think you have, yes.
Yeah, gosh. It was just such a, I don't know, it was such a transcendent kind of experience because I've performed Dalimana many, many times and to large audiences and small, but I don't think there's ever been a time when the experience of performing it and the connection to the audience has been just so palpable. You know, it was a profound experience for me.
And Deborah, you especially have pointed out that there is an exchange of cultural knowledge between you and your mentors, and your mentees become your mentors. So we're talking about intergenerational sharing of knowledge from different parts of this country. This is an amazing thing to hear.
Oh, there's too much knowledge for any one generation to hold it.
Yes.
And I don't think that was ever intended, that you're a custodian of the knowledge, and that knowledge is sung, that knowledge is painted onto you, that knowledge is danced. And when you go to a festival such as the one that Suri and I worked on all those years ago, you might have seen images recently of the Garma Festival, for instance, and you will see, honestly, 3, 4, sometimes even 5 generations of family dancing in their ceremony, and I love that. I love that. You know, you've got children there. They're not seen as an empty page that you're going to write on. They bring something of a spirit that they're born with. And I certainly have really been enriched by the experience of working with kids, Dalimana, Pecan Summer. It doesn't matter, whatever it is.
Yeah, and with Pecan Summer, who was the cast member that you learnt the most from then?
Oh, look, it's I learned tolerance from Suri. He is Mr. Text Message.
Yes.
He likes every T crossed and every I dotted. But but quite seriously, every single time we've performed the opera, I have I've gained so much from that from sharing that story with the cast, not only with the audience but also with the cast. And each and every time, it's a different experience. You know, when we began, the thing that I quickly realised travelling around Australia and auditioning people to be in the company was that there were so many Aboriginal men and women and Torres Strait Island men and women and children who were really switched on by opera, and that they didn't see it as, you know, an elite genre at all, that this was something that spoke to Aboriginal people. And of course it does, because yes, it's storytelling and it's the coming together of all the arts, just like our traditional cultural expression.
Yes.
So I've been very lucky in that way. I've had a wonderful company around me, people like Suri and, you know, last time we performed on at the Sydney Opera House, actually, in the concert hall there, and Suri can tell you about what that felt like from his point of view, but we're on stage with 45 people on stage that night in the company and another 30 in the orchestra. So I was pretty proud to be able to go to, you know, Spiritual Home of Opera and take a big company there of people who share that aspiration to tell our stories on that really large stage and with that really powerful genre, opera.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because really, Deborah, you more or less made the very first Indigenous opera on the world stage. Now, for someone of, you know, I guess you were saying before, beyond anything else, you feel like you're just the person who's just passing on the knowledge. Yeah, you've just... you know, but in the sense, you've also, I don't know whether you believe this or not, but I believe in pre-selection, and what you've done is actually, you're just doing what has been given to you by the universe to do.
I totally believe that too. And I think I was on the path to making the decision to write Pecan Summer for much longer, you know, a long time before I actually realised that that's something that I was capable of doing, you know.
And do you think this is, and this is where we're getting a little personal in questions now, I'm wondering... Because, you know, you're also a stolen generation and you weren't in touch with your Aboriginality from the very beginning. And you were basically raised since you were 3 weeks of years of age and or 3 weeks of age. Mm. And you were brought into a Baptist family. And obviously you've had a really strong religious sort of upbringing, but it was nothing to do with your Aboriginal, I guess, your Aboriginal culture.
No,
so,
nothing to do with traditional culture and community, and yet really sadly I guess that is part of Aboriginal culture, isn't it? The stolen generation is something that's with us, so it's a reality. It is part of the condition of being Aboriginal for sadly so many of us that were taken, so it's become this other element that that deprived us of a whole lot of knowledge that you need to be able to understand who you are and where you belong in the world. And so I do believe in pre-selection. I do believe that I was destined to create Short Black Opera, to write Pecan Summer and all the works that have come since. And I've been just so lucky to have great members of the company and a wonderful partner in my partner Tony to support me. And, yeah, it's a pretty exciting life, I have to say.
I think it's fantastic, and the fact that you are now, you're moving on, and you know, I guess you're only really halfway there to what you're really meant to be doing with your life and your purpose, and you're sort of just coming to terms with it now. So until we're going to discuss this more, and I'd love to play a song right now of yours. Mm-hmm. Can you let people know what we're going to play?
Well, I think we're going to play track number four. I just love this. It's called Zueignung, which is a German word which means devotion, and that's the title of the track of the album, Devotion, and that's what it takes to do what we do.
Excellent. Yes, you're on Urban Dreaming, guys. Stay tuned. Deborah Cheatham.
Thank you. This is Natano from Chasing Smoke, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Thank you, Natano. So that song there was Ai Ngong, which is actually by Richard Strauss, and the lady singing was the forever amazing Deborah Cheatham, who's actually in the studio right now with us on Urban Dreaming.
Hello.
Yay! Yay.
Lovely to have you here.
It's lovely to be here, I have to say. Good old Joy FM.
I'm surprised you even said that correctly. Ai Ngong, is that correct?
Yeah, it's Ai Ngong.
So it means devotion.
Yeah, it does. I just love that song. It's so uplifting, and the kind of hard work that you put into a career in the arts, I mean, you know, it takes utter and complete devotion, and I can't think of any way of, well, I can't think of any other way of being, really.
Yes, it's a hard one, isn't it? Devotion, like, because we are sometimes tested and trialed, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely. Daily, hourly, by the minute. you know, particularly at the moment, God, it's just every day you get up and you think, okay, what am I going to face today? I'm an Aboriginal lesbian who, you know, is a soprano. That's about as marginalised as you can get. Honestly, if I had a limp, I'd just be... I just feel that we have to do everything we can, and sometimes when you're facing adversity, you know, when you're hearing people with their sabre rattling and talking about war and aiming missiles at people, and when you hear... you know, when you hear people saying they're going to spend $121 million on a postal vote, and when you hear Barnaby Joyce say anything, you know, it's so completely depressing. Except for the fact that, you know, as an artist, you have a responsibility to respond to the world around you. And when times are tough, that's when artists have to really come to the fore. We have to go to the barricade, and we have to wrestle back humanity from the brink. This is our role as artists, and Aboriginal people have always known that. Arts are the way in which we know everything and have passed on our knowledge for, you know, 2,000 generations. So I think this is a trying time, and we are tested. But that is when we have to use the gifts that we've been given.
We're going to be going to a segment very soon with Miscellaneous and Constantina Tina Bush. But before I do, just in regards to what you were saying, Deborah, it's really amazing what's going on right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fact that a lot of us aren't being accepted for who we are, and this whole thing about our own human rights, you know, like, when does it stop?
I don't know when it stops, Suri, but I know this, that you have to have the tough conversations. Each of us will have people in our lives, probably lots of people in our lives, even people who are close to us, who are undecided as to how they're going to vote on that postal vote when the postal plebiscite comes along. You know, I had a conversation with my cousin yesterday, and I know that she hasn't given it any thought at all. And she hadn't realised that I'm standing right here. I'm standing right here as your cousin. You know, you've got to have a think about the effect on me, that I can't enjoy the same rights as you do as a heterosexual woman. You can marry your partner, you can be with him for life. I don't have that right at the moment, and you've got to realize that's just a little thread that can unravel society so quickly. You know, when you take for granted your privilege, and you just completely disregard the fact that other people are not as privileged as you, even people who are close to you, you've got to have those tough conversations. You know, I spent some time with my cousin yesterday, and I know she went home thinking about it seriously for the first time, and that's really sad. We've known each other our whole lives, so have the tough conversations. You've got to do it.
Well, speaking of sexy black women who break barriers,
yes,
check out these girls.
Ooh la la. Ah, let's find out what's hot and what's not. Click clack front and back, you're in for a bumpy ride. Quick stick styling hearts and you big hot folks. Step inside Missy's hot box.
Well, hello there, Miscellaneous and Constantina Bush. How are you?
Hello, darling hearts. I'm very well. How are you? There's the rumpa. The rummy.
Yes.
No, I always get that wrong.
Oh, just that heat's gotten to you in Darwin, I think.
It has gotten to me. Look, you know, as I said, I'm moist in places I shouldn't be moist up here. But there is so much. There is so much happening. As I've mentioned to you recently, is that I was at the NEMA Awards on Saturday night, and then of course I hosted the MC, the National Telstra Indigenous Arts Awards, which was an incredible honour for me, and you know, just such an incredible ceremony, and then the NEMA. So it's really been a weekend full of, you know, connecting with community and mob and, you know, from all over Australia. And as I said, last Sunday night was Constantina Bush and Friends as a part of the Darwin Festival, and that was a great show as well. And she's here to have a quick little hello. But how are you all doing in there?
We're good. So we've got Deborah Cheatham in the studio and Claire Bowen.
Hello.
Oh, hi, ladies.
Hey, Ben.
And our,
missed you all.
A temporary, hopefully maybe in the future, continual panellist. This is John.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Oh, hi, John.
Hey, hey.
Nice to meet you.
Hasn't he got a sexy voice?
Hey, hey.
I'll have a look at you. Now, let me look. She's here. She can't wait to talk to you all. I'll put her on. Ladies and gentlemen. Gentlemen and gentlemen, ladies and ladies. Miss Constantina Bush.
Yeah.
Hello, Labat. How you going?
Hey. Hello. How are you?
I'm good.
You're good. So how's Darwin treating you girls?
Look, it was really good. We've been doing our show. It was Constantina Bush and Friends, and the Friends was a whole 80s band. And we've been having saxophone player, bass player, guitar, and backing vocals. And first time I've been standing up in front of band and sing, because I usually got a, what do you call that thing, backing track, you know?
Oh, there's nothing like it. Live band. Well done, you.
Yeah, but it was all a Motown song, you know, all the old 70s songs. So
ooh, I wish I was
pick
there.
All the funky ones. Yeah.
Do you know who you're talking to right now, Constantina?
I sabi your voice.
You know, you are the queen of all the black women, yeah? But then there's the queen just above you.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe, I know. It's hard to believe. It's Deborah Cheatham.
Ah, true, hello.
Hello.
I can sing an opera, you know, and for your next job.
I bet you can. Why aren't you in my company? I want you there.
Well, I got an exciting thing too coming up. In November, I start touring, got a Yossi Indie Mob. We're re-releasing 3D after 25 years.
Oh, wow.
So we go to Hamer Hall, Sydney Opera House, Strawberry Fields Festival, Queen Bean for some festival there. I don't know what it's called, but yeah. So yeah, that's Yossi Indie and the Treaty Project it's called, and we start November. We start rehearsal and touring.
Oh, congratulations! I can't wait for that. That's gonna go off in Hamer Hall. Yeah,
because I thought they got to be funny because me, you know, instead of Kamai, but they wanted me, so I've been jump at the chance to talk at them up.
Or jump at it.
Yeah.
So good to hear your voice. And really, thank you so much, girls. You're doing a wonderful job in Darwin there. And I guess it's time to go back to your bingo, yeah?
Yeah, we're just about to start that second thing. So thank you so much for letting me have a little chat with him up, and hopefully I'll look him up soon, eh?
Yes, you need to find a new number. Not two fat ladies. We need someone with two skinny black fellas.
I was going to sing out two fat bushettes.
Oh, yes. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, thank you. All the best. Take care.
All right, no worries. All right, you too. See you, my bye.
Bye. Yes, Miscellaneous and Constantina Bush. Fantastic. What a crack up. Did they ever stop with comedy? No.
No. Absolutely not. They crack me up. I want to hear that treaty. That's what I want to hear.
Oh, the one that Constantina does?
Yeah.
Yes, it's actually it's very clever because, you know, Constantina is a clever girl. And the idea of, you know, collaboration with them too, they're a powerhouse.
Yeah, it's too good.
So just speaking of NEMA Awards, actually, let's play a track right now. This is Rebecca Hatch.
Standing over there, so I came. hope you don't mind the company. I just wanna know your name. I like the way you rock, I like the way you move, I like your style, I like your way. And Jimmy said, hey, you were doing alright before you met me, and that's okay. You said you were having a rough day. Said you like my eyes, they made you smile. You like my vibes, hadn't felt that in a while. Was so strong, made me feel like I belong. The way you said the atmosphere, I know the right place is to be here. Take my hand, let it go. I'll show you the way. I have control. Fly to the moon, fly to Mars. I just wanna know, boy, did it hurt when you fell from the stars? Vibe all night. You make me wanna vibe.
Yes, you are an Urban Dreaming, and in the studio with me is Deborah Cheatham, and we've just been having the best yarn and good laugh, and it's just been so wonderful to have you on board, Deborah.
Oh, it's so good to be here, Suri, yeah.
So that song just played then actually was Rebecca Hatch with the song Vibes, and apparently she's also a newcomer to the industry. Through the NIMA Awards, she was also announced the winner of the Unearthed High Indigenous Initiative. And so big congrats to you, Rebecca Hatch, and basically following the footsteps of the 2016 recipient, that's Tia Costello, and 16 years of age she is.
Yeah, beautiful song. One to look out for, that one.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's so many up-and-coming Indigenous artists like who are just really kicking ass on the platform. I just think like we've got so much to offer our people, haven't we?
We've got so much to celebrate, you know, and I think that music is an obvious way of celebrating our culture, and, you know, those awards on the weekend, that's also the Visual Arts Awards. It's just such a powerful statement, the winning artwork this weekend in Darwin. I was just really blown away. And, yeah, I just think interesting times for us. We're trying to get people out there to vote yes for this plebiscite, make sure everybody is enrolled. But it's really funny how you're talking to young people and they don't always feel like they've got a voice, but you certainly have a voice in this.
Well, the young people are our generation, next generation,
yeah.
And I think it's really important they understand that.
Yep.
Because, you know, we're getting older and we've got to pass on the knowledge. And
absolutely.
The knowledge of I guess, knowing that it is okay to speak up and, you know, that one person can plant a seed to create a voice for the rest.
Absolutely, yeah. Just don't take for granted that there are people out there who understand you, even your friends. You do have to, as I was saying before, have that difficult conversation. Tell you what, I'm not having conversations on the weekend. I'm going along to Fed Square. I think you opened Leap It Ween, didn't you?
Leap It Ween, yes. That's the installation they've created at the Fed Square with Vicky Cousins.
Yeah, it's a fantastic. It means campfire in Gunditjmara, yeah.
Yes.
I think, yeah. And it burns probably most of the month of July.
And 2 weeks it burns for?
Yeah, end of July into... Oh, no,
maybe longer.
Even longer?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure maybe it's 3 weeks.
We're hopeless. I should have come with the dates. But I do know... Well, when did you dance? Because you opened it and I'm closing it.
Well, I did dance on the... Oh, my God. Why did you put me on the spot?
Shouldn't have put you on the spot. Well, look, if you can get along on Sunday afternoon...
I think it's a week and a half ago now.
Sunday afternoon at about 4 o'clock, closing ceremony, and...
you know, it's going to be, oh, look, I take any chance I can to sing in the beautiful Bunwarang language of the people of the Kulin Nation. It's such a beautiful language, and I've got a song there, and actually got a tabla player, so that beautiful Indian drum.
Yeah,
it goes along with it. So if you get along there any night. It burns night and day, and there are things happening every single night of the week. But closing ceremony, special time to reflect and celebrate together.
It's a wonderful opportunity because it's you know, a lot. We live in the city here, and we don't have much, you know, time to go out bush. And and what's really crazy is that I don't know if you know, but the actual stones from that on Fed Square actually from the Kimberleys.
Yeah.
So when I first came to Melbourne, I instantly felt some sort of connection to that specific part of the land, and I was like, what am I feeling like this for?
Yeah.
And it just goes to show that overwhelming sort of sense of spirit and the tendency to want to be close to, you know, to country. And, you know, the idea of me being able to perform there and yourself as well, and to have a fire at this place burning. Yeah. Consistently throughout this month is like, it's such a beautiful thing, and it only happens once a year, so I think that's something we should all really think about doing.
Oh, it's a connectedness that you just can't get in any other way. And yeah, Melbourne is cold and it can be a little bit miserable out there, but that's the whole idea behind the campfire, that you gather near and you can start up conversations with people, or there's every single event there is free, by the way. That's what I love about Melbourne. I love that about Fed Square in particular. I just find that it's a place that you can really feel connected. I mean, you and I are both from different place. Me from Sydney and you from up in the Kimberley, but there's a real connectedness that you can feel here in Melbourne, I think.
And nothing like a good free event.
Yeah, well that's right. And so it should be. So it should be free. I think that we should have more of it. So yeah, I'll be singing there on Sunday afternoon.
Awesome. Looking forward to that. And speaking of the Kimberleys, let's play Dan Sultan with Kimberley Calling, because I did promise to play this before. So
yes,
here it is.
Let's do it.
Deep to Lumberdina and Cape Levy. Hi, this is Alfie Akuri. You're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Yes, those two songs there, that was Dan Sultan with Kimberly Calling. Love that song. And just then we played Dvorja, which is actually a song that Deborah covered, which is Songs My Mother Taught Me. And in reflection to that, Deborah, because, you know the idea of having someone who's basically brought you up all your life and then to discover that it wasn't your biological mother. Mm. But just recently I've actually been doing some work where I'm playing a character who's actually a foster child, who's brought up in a foster family, and then starts to question, as he gets older, who is my biological parents? Mm. And the idea of losing, I guess at the time, not having connection to your biological mother, but knowing that I see you as someone who's connected through, I guess, through family and spirit so strongly, but there's this disconnect that you never necessarily had your own self.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I had a mother and a father that I grew up with. They took very good care of me. That wasn't necessarily the case for most stolen generation kids. Lots of them put into institutions. But those people instilled, you know, the Cheatham family instilled in me important values. But it was an identity for me that was too small, that adopted identity, and there's nothing I could do about that except just to work my way towards finding my belonging. And when I finally did that, I felt like a whole person. It's an interesting character that you're playing, really. That would be very challenging, I would say.
Yeah. I guess it's got to the point, guys, where if you feel there's something that you need to do and you're not, it's not too late, I guess, and that's the thing, and that's what I guess Deborah is doing right now, and I guess a lot of us artists in general. You've got a voice. Use it.
Be courageous. It'll pay off, believe me.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.